Welcome to my Pivoting Your Mindset podcast. My podcast will help you navigate and explore the power of changing your thoughts. I'll help you learn how to set healthy boundaries and to gain confidence in who you are. I'm Jennifer Whalen, your host. I'm a certified life breakthrough coach, and I've been in your shoes. I felt stuck, frustrated, and beaten down, and I also know what it feels like to be confident, and I want the same for you. Throughout these episodes, you will hear my story and find hope, encouragement, and practical advice that will help you along the way. So grab a notebook and your favorite beverage and let's jump right in. If you could see yourself how God sees you, what would you do differently? How would you hold yourself? And do you think you'd be more confident to go after your dreams and your passions? Do you think you'd be more confident to set boundaries and not be a doormat anymore? Well, the other day, Jason said, "Baby, if you could see you like I see you, you would know how perfect you are to me." First of all, I melted, but because as I've told you on some other podcasts, I've been struggling a little bit with getting back to where I once was with my health and with my fitness and working out. Now, mind you, I'm 5 years older, going through menopause, but I know that I feel better when I lose some of this extra weight that I have. Does losing the pounds define me? No. But does gaining the weight make me feel like a failure? No. It's just all part of the journey. And I know these things, but I'm not going to lie. I started to beat myself up because, you know, yeah, I don't know if you're like this, but sometimes I expect perfectionism from myself, but I show grace to when it comes to everyone else. So I had to check in on myself and see where my thoughts were and my mindset was going around losing weight because Jason knew I was struggling because it's apparent when I struggle. But what I came to understand about myself is if I continue to beat myself up and tell myself that I shouldn't have allowed my weight to come back on, then most likely I would continue to gain weight. Because here's the deal. You can eat the right things, do the right exercising, but I believe, and I'm living proof, that if your mindset isn't in the right place, you won't be consistent, and you actually will be working against yourself. Because how we show up in one area is how we show up in all of our areas. So if you are beating yourself up and speaking negatively about yourself, about your health, most likely you're speaking negatively about yourself in your job, your relationships, about your goals, about your dreams. You get what I'm saying. I always say get your mind right and the rest will follow. Not without effort on your part, but if you feel good mentally, you do good physically, emotionally, and financially. If you're down and depressed, you'll be so focused on the negative that the positive doesn't have a place in your mind. There's no room. However, if you start to fill your mind with the positive thoughts and you start to speak to yourself with grace and love, there will be no place for the negative. I like to think of it like this, and maybe this will help you too. If you think of your thoughts, positive and negative, kind of like a bank account. You can make deposits. If you have bank deposits in your bank account, you have money to spend, right? But if you just spend and spend and spend, eventually there will be nothing left when it comes to needing money. Same thing with our positive thoughts. If we're only putting in the negative when we need that uplifting and grace to show ourselves, it won't be there. We'll have to start from ground zero, right? But if we could only see ourselves how God sees us, what a difference that would be. Okay, think of it this way. If you're listening and you're a mom or dad or even an aunt and uncle, do you ever just look at your kids and think, I don't know how I could love them anymore? They are the most beautiful girls and the most handsome boys. I want to put it in perspective for you. You know how you look at some babies when they're born and you're like, oh, bless it. They're just not real cute. But the baby's parents post pictures and share how perfect they are. That's because they're looking at that baby like God looks at his children. You don't look at your kids and say, man, they're ugly. They can be terrible in the terrible twos. They can be terrible in the terrible teens. But you still look at them and you just think they're perfect. They're wonderful. They're beautiful. They're handsome. Y'all, this is how God sees us. He looks past what we call flaws. He looks past our inconsistencies. He looks past our mistakes. He sees us as His children, perfect in His eyes. Are we perfect? No, but He sees us perfect because He created us. Same thing when we look at our kids. We know that they're not perfect, but we still think they're beautiful and they're wonderful and they're precious. That's how He sees us. So back to my question. If you could see yourself how God sees you, what would you do differently? Would you take that chance because you still love yourself, even if that chance wasn't what you thought it would be? What if you put yourself out there to start a new relationship and that person decided to hurt you, but you knew that you were still loved and valued, that that person's opinion or actions didn't change who you are? What if you started a new journey to get your health back? The scale moved like a snail. You didn't do it perfectly, but yet you still loved yourself and you were your own biggest cheerleader. What would you do differently? I know I would do things differently. Satan constantly comes at you and he wants you to feel bad about yourselves. He wants you to stay stuck. He wants you to stay with that hamster on that hamster wheel, feeling that doubt, those fears, and those insecurities. He wants that. But you can change that. There are four areas that I always talk about that could keep you stuck. One is the fear of failure. If you do not try to do anything, or you stay frozen because you're fearing that you're going to fail, it's going to keep you stuck. If you try something and it doesn't work, that doesn't mean you failed. It just means that it didn't work for you and you need to try something else. The second thing is you can be overwhelmed. This is when we tend to just be a people pleaser. I always say I'm a recovering people pleaser because for most of my life, that's what I lived like, a people pleaser. When you're a people pleaser, you don't know how to set boundaries. And instead of moving forward, you stay stuck, juggling all those things in your life and feeling like you're suffocating. Because you're suffocating with everything else except what you deep down want to do for yourself. The third thing that I think is an area that people get stuck is you are just unsure of your purpose. Does God really have a purpose for you here on earth? That's what you might ask yourself. Does He really want you to do more than just the day in and day out of a mundane life? Does He want you to stay stuck trying to figure it out while you're here on earth, just in that cycle? If you never take a chance and really dig deep inside of you and figure out what you like or what you enjoy and things that you want to do, not what your family feels you should do, but what you want to do, that's when you can be unclear of your purpose. And the fourth area, which I feel is a huge area, and it's one of the main areas that I feel keep most of us stuck, is the speaking negatively about ourselves. So, do you look at the glass half full or has it half empty? Do you think, why me? Why can't I never fill in the blank? Do you look at yourself and say, why am I flawed? Why did I have to go through all of that? Or, I can't do this. Do you even tell yourself that you're not worthy or that you're not enough? Do you speak negatively to yourself? If any of those four areas sound like something that's going to keep you stuck, I invite you to take my 5-question quiz. It's going to help you discover if any of those areas are what's keeping you stuck. The first step is acknowledging what you're doing now and is it keeping you stuck? Once you have that knowledge, then once you have that information and that knowledge and those results, you can do something with it. Because knowledge is power. Knowledge doesn't make what's causing you stuck to go away. It just gives you that information so that you can know, hey, I should move in this direction or I should move in that direction. It just gives you that clear direction so that you know how to move forward. And that's also where a life coach can come in. Life coaches, we can take that information and then help you discover where you are currently and where you want to go. And then we work with you to come up with an action plan to know how to get there. Because you can say, I want to go there, but if you don't create that plan and those goals and those that plan of attack, that action, it's going to be easy to just keep putting it on the back burner. One of the questions that I often get asked is when I tell people I'm a life coach, they're like, so what's the difference between a life coach and a counselor? Here's how I describe it. A counselor is going to help you uncover the past and sort through what has happened to you. But a life coach helps find where you are currently and then where you want to be. And then we help to help guide you so that you can use your past to guide you to where you want to go and even where you don't want to go again. But it's not a chain to keep you stuck there, to bind you there. So we kind of help you get unstuck and free from that repeat cycle. I personally went to a counselor for years. These counselors helped me to process what had been done to me. But what they didn't do was help me to move past that and to dig into why I allowed those things, why I didn't set boundaries, why I felt I didn't deserve better. I am not anti-counselors. I think they have an amazing role. And I don't regret that I even had time with my counselor. But where I saw the biggest growth for me personally was when I started meeting with my life coach. So, I mean, I highly recommend everyone have a life coach. I would love to work with you. And if this is something you've ever thought about or you think that you're ready for or you know you're ready for, in my show notes, I put a page where you can go and just read about what I'm getting ready to tell you about. It's the Unique Calling Mentorship. So it's like you hire me as your life coach, but a lot of people feel like life coaches are way out of their reach financially. And I don't like that, how, you know, finances are a big thing for me. Like, I want to help people and I don't want finances to be the stopping reason why I don't help someone. But when you think about hiring a life coach and it just seems too far to reach, then you're going to be like, no, I'm not going to do it. And I really do believe that it can be life changing. So my life coach, Shauna, and I, and a team of other coaches have come up with this program. It's a Unique Calling Mentorship program where you not only, when you come to me as your coach, you get me as your coach, but then you get a team of other coaches that might be able to help you with, you know, marriage or working from home, or even what is your calling? What are you trying to do? Of course, I focus on boundaries and confidence and overcoming. And so you have me as your coach, but then you have a team of other coaches that you can also go to. If that week you're struggling with something and you're like, you know what, I really want to talk to someone about this, you have that to have that laser focused. There's so many different areas of the program that I could take up a lot of time telling you about it, but it's amazing. And there is something in the show notes where you could just go and read about it. But I am always here to answer any questions you have, or if you just want to meet with me and do a discovery call and see if we would be a good fit to go to work together, I would love to help you. But anyway, I started this podcast talking about if we could see ourselves how God sees us. Here's a challenge I want to give you. I want you to start each day with one thing that about yourself that you appreciate. Just one thing that you appreciate. Something that God says you are. If you can, look up Bible verses about who He says that you are. You are His child. He knit you together in your mother's womb. You were created by His workmanship for His purpose. If you talk to yourself and see yourself how God sees you and for His purpose, don't you think it would make you appreciate yourself a little more? Maybe you would do something that you've been wanting to do that you've just kept inside in your heart. He created you for this purpose. What's in your heart is by God. He put it there. He put that desire in your heart for a reason. If we would change how we see ourselves, how God sees us, it would not only change how we saw ourselves, but it would change how we talk to ourselves. if we look at ourselves differently and talk to ourselves differently, can you just imagine how that would impact the next generation? If we could teach them this concept at such an early age, because y'all, I was like 42 when I finally started clicking with how I should talk to myself. Again, I haven't arrived, and I don't know that we will ever arrive to where we never have negative thoughts, fears, and doubts. But honestly, it might take until we get to heaven. And that's okay, because we're here on earth and we have to do the best that we can. But imagine if we could teach them, the kids behind us, to do it younger so that they don't have to wait until their 40s and 50s to start talking to themselves and see themselves how God sees them. Now, if you're 40, 50, 60, or whatever age you are listening to this podcast right now, it is never too late. That is not what I'm saying. But just imagine the impact that we would have on that next generation if we could start them hearing from it or learning this stuff earlier. The thought of teaching them this concept, it's kind of like, it's exciting and it's mind-boggling, because you're like, man, if I knew this when I was 12 or when I was 13 or even when I was 19 and getting married and, you know, knowing all this, what would I have done differently? You know, the next generation especially doesn't learn. I don't think any of us really learn by just what our parents said. We learn by what they see. So they're watching us constantly. These kids now are exposed to social media. When I was young, I didn't have social media. I had my immediate friends and family to watch, but I didn't even have social media. So social media has some really great things and some really things that's not so great. But imagine if we would consume social media and it would be all of us feeling good and being uplifting and talking to ourselves and carrying ourselves how God sees us. Imagine the impact it would have of them watching us. They would do that. They would start to do that. I can't change the world alone, and neither can you. But man, can we make an impact? I want to use the platform that God has given me to show others that are watching me. And if you're on social media at all, I hope that you're going to do that same thing too. But it starts with us, though. We don't have to be perfect to set an example of how we should view ourselves. I'm living proof of that. But God will use us right where we are. We just have to be a willing vessel for Him to use. So here's what my challenge to you. I want you to start right now. Do not wait until later. Start right now. So, okay, we're going to have a little fun before I end. I'm going to do this fun exercise with you. I want you to think about a purple cow standing in the yellow flowers and singing to a pasture full of other cows. Okay, did you think about it? Was it easy? Did you analyze what I said? Did you second guess if you should think about it? Or did you ask yourself why I was asking you to think about a purple cow standing in the yellow flowers? Chances are you probably did not. You probably just thought about it. You may have even smiled a little, maybe even laughed, or maybe you kept thinking about it. Maybe you thought about, man, what song is that cow singing? Or maybe you heard music and you started actually singing what you were thinking about. That's the powerful thing, ladies. You control what you think. You choose in that split second to think about it and think about what I was telling you to think about. You just thought about it. You didn't analyze it. So that's what we have the power to do daily. You can do this moment by moment. You can flip that negative thought and start right now. Choose to think about things and yourself positively. You know, I teach the 4-step to overcome method to my clients, and I've taught it on my podcast. I say it's a simple process, but man, it is so powerful. It's one that you can do on the go, or you can actually take time to journal about it. Y'all know me, I love journaling, and I'm going to be sharing more about journaling in my upcoming podcast. But you can do these 4-step method as soon as you choose to allow that negative thought to enter your mind. Remember, I don't want you to think this is a once and done thing. This is something that you're going to have to use often. I use it often. I'm human. I'm a life coach, but I am definitely not perfect. So I use this every time a negative thought comes in my mind. Here's another thing I want you to think about. When you go to put on something really sexy for your husband, when I do that, I get to choose. Will I hold myself confidently or will I analyze and critique myself? Okay, by the way, if you're married and you are not showing up confidently with those sexy numbers on, you should. God created men to be visual. Don't try to stop that. Just embrace it. They think we're beautiful flaws and all. So don't keep covered up because you think he won't like it. Trust me, he will. That's how God made him. And I finally have a husband that thinks I'm beautiful inside and out. I haven't always had this. But it's what we tell ourselves at that moment. Are we going to withhold that from our husbands just because we are critiquing ourselves? Before I could have the confidence to go before my husband, I had to be confident with myself, but not confident with what he might say, but because of my confidence. I had to be confident first. If you aren't confident, it won't matter what they say. You won't ever feel it. On the same hand, if you have a man that is constantly telling you what's wrong with your body, that you're fat, that you need to be this size or that size, remember, if you're confident, you won't allow his words to impact you and you will set boundaries and so that he knows that that's not allowed to talk to you that way, that he doesn't have the freedom to say those things about you. But again, you have to be confident first. Remember, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. I want to leave you with this quote. Confidence isn't walking into a room thinking you're better than everyone else. Confidence is walking in and not having to compare yourself to anyone at all. Thank you for taking the time to listen today. Remember, your current situation does not determine your future. If you found this episode valuable, please consider sharing it with a friend or leaving a review. I want to invite you to join us in our mentorship program. This is a place where you get weekly coaching from a certified coach. This mentorship has a team of coaches that specialize in so many areas. If you need help with confidence and boundaries, or maybe you're a stay-at-home mom thinking about starting a business, or maybe you're just struggling to find your calling, we have a team that will help you in all those areas plus more. This could be exactly what you're looking for. It's like having a one-stop shop, but for coaching, but at a fraction of the price. We truly believe that God has created this, and we can't wait for you to be a part of it. There is a link in my show notes if you want more details. And again, don't forget to take my quiz to discover any hidden barriers that might be holding you back and learn how you can move forward with confidence and with clarity. I want to thank you again for your support. It really does mean so much to me.